Imp Radio.
What is my problem with man, you ask? No. I ask you, what was man's problem with me?
Move along.
Imp Radio.
Butter. Real good.
Whether we know it's peace as you know me.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. It's good to be back. Of course, as always, we are brought to you by the Amp Radio Network. This one coming at you from the international studios of Amp Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, this one we like to call Smack My Picks Up, hashtag Smack My Picks Up, UFC 222. Cyborg versus Tunaskaya, which will be held March 3rd, 2018 at the T-Mobile Arena. Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call it Paradise, Nevada. All right. So let's get into this, because why should we wait? I know Pamela is chomping at the bit to talk about this one. So let's go ahead and bring her in, ladies and gentlemen. The life of the party. From North Carolina, Pam, bring her on in, DJ Tony.
Hi, guys. Happy, I was going to say Wednesday. Happy Thursday. What's going on? I missed you guys all week.
We missed you too, Pam. I mean, it seems like nowadays you and I talk less and less. I don't understand why that is, but, you know. Maybe we'll get back into the swing.
You know why?
I mean,
because now
sometimes
now,
life
seriously,
gets
you
in
know
the
what?
Way, right?
I've been just crazy working, you know, crazy working. I come home and God, that work is getting interfering with my life.
No, man. As we always like to say on this show, sometimes life gets in the way. And you know, we were just talking before we came on air. I mean, everybody's life is getting in the way right now, and that just seems to happen. It's all good.
I know. We were having hurricane warnings here today, so.
Hey, Pammy, the weather here is crazy right now, too. I tell you what.
Well, you're in Siberia. I mean, you know what? I'd rather take a hurricane over snow, though. Give me a tidal wind, whatever, anything over snow. UFC 222, I'm excited.
I would rather take snow, to be honest with you. But let's go ahead and bring in the big boss, man. He's here, too. You know him, you love him. DJ Tony. It's Tony time, baby.
It's Tony time, bitches.
Brody is Pam. I don't know if you guys heard. I was playing the Careless Whisper song for you guys.
I heard.
Reminiscing about your past. And we do have that delay, guys. So just hang in there on that delay. I can't stand when we get the delay. I'll tell you, I'm more delayed than Yana Kunitskaya taking her post-fight press photo.
Right?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Nothing?
No, I got that.
Really, guys?
I got you. I got your back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to laugh, but I had cookies in my mouth.
Of course, DJ Tony is coming at us from the mean streets. That's right, DJ Tony, aren't you not? How are the mean streets?
The mean streets of Danville, California. People in California can't drive in the rain.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know I'm wearing a necklace right now that is a voodoo doll?
That real. Does not surprise me. I don't know why, but that doesn't surprise me. I apologize for talking over you, Pam. I apologize. You know him. You love him. Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco. Come from West Coast over. You know what? It is the end of the world as we know it. It is the end of the world as we know it. This weather is crazy. It was 23 degrees yesterday, dropped to 40 degrees today. thunderstorms last night. Pat has hurricanes. DJ Tony doesn't know how to drive in the rain, and you are buried in the snow. We're screwing this planet up. And one of these days, planet Earth is going to shake us like a wet dog. It's going to get like, it's going to be like, you remember what I did to the dinosaurs, motherfuckers? It's your turn now, humans.
I agree 100% with you there.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Marco. Okay, let me just recap real quickly, guys, because the last time we did Smack My Picks Up was last Thursday. And, of course, we have to recap and tell you who won that weekend. I have to give this past weekend to Pamela. Pamela,
yes!
I scored the – I went through all of the scores here. And, of course, Pam got more of the – not only did she pick the fighter correctly, but she got – in the Stevens fight, she got the second round, and she got the KO. And then in the Andrade fight, she got more points than the rest of us. So congratulations, Tammy.
Thank you.
You win.
Hey, I think we all bit the big one on them. That's good. We all bit the big one on the OSP fight, huh?
Yeah, that was a clean sweep. Yeah. Let's move on to UFC 222. DJ Tony, if you want to cue. Now, guys, I wanted to start in the women's strawweight division because this is near and dear to DJ Tony's heart. So maybe DJ Tony now, because the next one's near and dear to your heart as well. So we'll start with Pam. Ashley Yoder versus Mackenzie Dern. I'm starting with this one. I know, guys, it's on the prelims, but of course, we know how DJ Tony has an interest in Miss Dern. So let's go. Ashley Yoder, also known as the Spider Monkey, at 5-3-0. Mackenzie Dern from the United States of America, also listed here at 5-0-0. Pammy, let's start here with you. What you got?
Okay. Don't hate me, but on my paper written here in black ink, I have boring and snooze fest written on this one.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Okay. Neither of these girls, you know, bless their little hearts. I mean, they're out there doing their thing. Mackenzie Dern, undefeated, a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Ashley Yoder is purple belt in jiu-jitsu, coming off of 2 losses, 4 subs, 1 decision. Mackenzie Dern, 3 subs, 2 decisions. I'm going to just sit in the bathroom. I might take a bath for this one. You know what? I am just going to – I don't even know what to say. Truthfully, I don't even know what to say. I am going to – you know what? I'm going to go with Ashley Yoder only because – no, you know what? No, I'm going to go with Mackenzie Dern just because she's a black belt. But this fight, it's truthfully, Yon City, man. Me duermo. Me duermo a la chingada.
So you're going to do Dern by sub?
Yes. Let me see.
Okay.
No, decision.
Okay, we're going to go decision. And what was the Spanish word of the day there? Because I think I heard some Spanish words.
I said, me duermo a la chingada. That means I'm going to fucking go to sleep.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's good.
Disney will never, Disney's not going to sponsor us with those languages.
So, okay, you can cut it down to me duermo. That means I'm sleeping. There's a couple of them on here where me duermo.
Okay, I understand. Okay. I understand where you're coming from there. And we can talk about that later at a later date. Maybe this is worth our money. But, Marco, let's go ahead and throw it to you. I mean, both girls look good getting off the bus, Marco. I'm not sure about you, but Ashley Yoder at 30 years of age, Mackenzie Dern coming in at 24 years of age. Do you think the younger Mackenzie Dern gets this one done, or do you think the more experienced Ashley Yoder, as they wanted to push on Embedded today, has more experience, more fights, gets it done?
Let me introduce you to Mackenzie Dern. She's BJJ royal. Her father is like a world champion jiu-jitsu practitioner. She herself is a world champion jiu-jitsu practitioner. And her last MMA fight, she defeated a girl with a Google Plata rear naked choke. She twisted this girl like a pretzel. We're not talking just about any kind of Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. Mackenzie Dern, man, is the real fucking deal. If she got this to the ground, this other girl is going to be twisted like a pretzel. And it's going to be Cortez for Jeter, man. Yeah, I agree. They both look really good coming out of the box. But there is a lot of hype on Mackenzie Dunn, dude. There's a lot of hype on this girl. If she wins this fight, and I think she will, and I think she will win impressively, they're going to put a rocket ship on her back and Cynthia Calvillo. Remember Cynthia Calvillo last year? She won on 4 fights and impressed in every single one of her fights. Okay, Cynthia Calvillo cannot freaking lead a candle to Mackenzie Dunn's jiu-jitsu. Put it that way. And Cynthia Calvillo is really super good. So I'm predicting that Mackenzie Dunn is going to get his done. He's going to get his done in the second round by some crazy, twisting, freaking jiu-jitsu move that we had never seen before, because that is the kind of jiu-jitsu level she got. So give me Mackenzie Dunn by submission in the second round.
Okay. So Marco is going second round submission. Pam going with Dern. Sorry. Marco going with Mackenzie Dern, second round submission. Pam going with also Mackenzie Dern, but going
decision.
Spot. Decision. Absolutely. Let me see if I can find the odds on this one real quick, guys. Yeah. Tony, before we throw to you, Yoder is a plus 335. And of course, on Embedded today, she was that they released today, she was saying, oh, I'm used to being the underdog. And of course, Mackenzie Dern at a plus 40 or minus 405. Tony, what you got going on here? Cue the music.
Guys, you guys know me. I actually like to look at talent and just respect good Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But I will say this, guys. Mackenzie Dern is a talent, guys. I mean, honestly, forget about the fact that she's obviously attractive. Forget about the fact that her curves are just out of control. She's a legit Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I think UFC 222, guys, we're looking at two Brazilian jiu-jitsu superstars, not joking, in Brian Ortega and Mackenzie Dern. I know most people will look at her and say, gosh, all right, well, she's really attractive, but she's one hell of a fighter. Keep in mind, her MMA striking is still very raw. She does take a lot of hits, and I don't think she's going to be undefeated too long, but she really does have a legit chance to be a star. She's kind of shy and doesn't really talk the way Ronda does, but she's already... And we're probably going to get some hate on this. She's already more talented in MMA than Ronda is, because Ronda really just had the armbar and judo throws, etc. Mackenzie Dern's ground game, guys, is fantastic. So I'm taking Mackenzie Dern in a non-boring fight.
Correct the mundo.
With a submission. Second round.
All right. So Tony, going the same way as Marco, choosing Dern by second round submission. Guys, I think that this is a fight that, again, as we mentioned last week, probably with Sage Northcutt, probably shouldn't be on the main card. I see why it's on the main, or sorry, it's not on the main card. It's the, what is it, the main event of the prelims? Sorry. Yes, it is. My bad. And I see why we're doing this, because both ladies are, as we said, looking good, getting off the bus. Now,
hold on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're saying hubba, hubba, hubba. Oh, I thought you said hold on.
I thought you said hold on as well.
He said hubba, 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 hubba.
Yeah, hubba, hubba, okay. Hubba. Okay. Yeah, so, but Mackenzie Dern could be the Damian Maya of this division. No doubt about it, DJ Tony. I agree with you on that. But, again, we have to look at Ashley Yoder, and, you know, Ashley Yoder has a more, I would like to say, developed stand-up game. Just from what we can see from the embedded footage, it doesn't seem like Mackenzie's, doing too much striking. But, of course, you don't want to do too much in front of the cameras. And, of course, Ashley Yoder's last fight was Angela Hill, who just had an impressive win last week. And she brought her to decision. So I think that we might be underestimating Ashley Yoder here, and I'm going to take the unpopular. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to take Yoder. I'm going to take her by decision. I don't think, as Pam said, in talent level from where Mackenzie Dern was in Evicta to now in the UFC, of course, might be a little bit of a change here. So I think Yoder's going to be able to get this done, but I think it's going to be a decision. I tend to agree with him. I think it might be – yes, thank you. I think that it might be a boring affair. Thank you very much, DJ Tony.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to DJ Tony's favorite division and his favorite fighter. Go ahead and cue that music first, DJ Tony. To the women's bantamweight division, we go Kat Zingano versus Caitlin Vieira. Now, did I say Vieira right, or is that incorrect?
Perfect.
I think it's fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't want to get that wrong. So number six versus number five. And, of course, Kat Zingano coming at us at number six, 9-2-0. Caitlin Vieira. I don't know what. I cannot pronounce her nickname. I apologize. 9-0. Holy moly. Coming out of DJ Tony. What you got here?
This is going to be one of those fights, guys, where you just don't know who, probably like a Joe Silva special or maybe a Sean Shelby special here, because this is one of those ones where I scratch my head and I'm wondering who are they doing a favor for, right? Are they bringing up Caitlin Vieira, who's 26 years old, basically 10 years younger and a talented fighter, or are they trying to give Kat a bump up? I don't know who they're trying to give it to. By the way, shout out to Kat Zingano. Got her book today. You know I'll be going through that with a fine-tooth comb. Oops, sorry. Better put that away. All right, guys. I actually don't know who to choose here because Kat Zingano, guys, hasn't fought since 2016. UFC 200 was the last time she fought, guys. 2016. Lost, obviously, to Ronda Rousey, Juliana Pena, beat. Hold on, Pam, cover your ears. Beat Amanda Nunes. Beat Misha Tate. That one hurts me. Beat Raquel Pennington. But it's been 2 years, guys. And Caitlin Vieira, you know, I saw her versus Sarah McMahon and Ashley Evan-Smith. Yeah. Really haven't seen her fight anything, or I don't recall seeing her fight against anyone else. I don't know if she's that good or if maybe Sarah McMahon has really gone through a downfall because we just saw her lose to our girl, Marion Renault. I'm going with Kat Zingano, guys, literally just pure with the fact that I just think she's a tough girl. I hope she still has something left in the tank. Really, aside from the fact that I'm a big Kat Zingano fan, don't have really much else to go off of because she hasn't been very active. But I'm going with Kat Zingano, guys, hoping that she – still has something left in the tank. Let's go decision. Three rounds.
Okay, decision.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Marco, let's go to you because as Tony had alluded to, Caitlin Vieira has come off of a win against Sarah McMahon in her last fight. And as Tony had said, Kat has not been fighting for a long period of time. So you have this young killer coming up against Kat Zingano. What you got going on here?
Man, I've been struggling with this fight too, man, because, Kat Zingano has been so snake-bitten, you know, with injuries and stuff like that. You know, the death of her husband a few years ago. So I always rooted for Kat Zingano, man. I mean, then she got the title fight and that weird armbar in 14 seconds from Ronda. But let's not forget, man, I mean, on her mantle, she got Kick Oren, freaking bantamweight champion, and the former bantamweight champion, Misha Tate and Amanda Nunes. And the number one contender, Raquel Pennington, too. Kat Zingano is really good. She is really good. And we all know she's tough as nails, man. It's been a long layoff. We all got to recognize that. But, man, this other girl, yeah, she might be undefeated, but who has she really beat, you know? And that is the problem. I mean, you see at the quality of wins, common sense will dictate Kat Zingano. And I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with the, my known commodity with the guy I've seen that had the talent and the toughness to probably be a champion. And I'm going to surprise you. I think Kat Zingano will beat this girl, and she's not going to call Amanda Nunes. I think she's going to call out freaking Cyborg because she was calling for a fight with Cyborg last year, and for what reason or another, she didn't get it. And I think she's calling out Cyborg after she's her victory tonight. And I'd be interested on that fight, too.
Method and round, please.
Second round TKO for Kat because Kat knows how to finish people.
Okay. Second round TKO. Pam, I don't know both, if you agree with these two gentlemen. And the interesting storyline with Kat Zingano and Cyborg is nice for the next fight, but yeah, we're cueing the music. I love it. But we have to both have a fight here. Kat Zingano has to get through Vieira, and of course, Cyborg has to get through Tunaskaya. Pam, what do you have going on here? What you got?
Okay, this fight was actually pretty interesting to kind of try to figure out because I know everybody is on that Kat Zingano train. Hey, you know. That she beat Amanda Nunes and Misha Tate and Raquel Pennington. 5 years ago, 2012, was Raquel Pennington. Misha Tate, 2013. Amanda Nunes, 2014. So, come on, that's been almost 4 years ago. And these fighters that she beat then are not the fighters that they are now. So, keep that in mind. And I think, you know, coming up against Ketman Vieira, we kind of slept on her the last couple of fights. This girl is a black belt in judo, a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and she's a Brazilian wrestling champion. Kat Zingano, aggressive, Muay Thai, she's a purple belt. Her last two losses are Pena and Rousey, which Rousey, you know, whatever. But this Ketlin, I don't know if you remember her last fight. This is a big girl. Once she hydrates back to her weight, she's a big girl. She's 5'8 compared to Kat's 5'6, but she's like a big 5'8. Like, I mean, she's got back. I mean, she's like a linebacker, 5'8. So I'm going with her. I am a second round submission for Ketman for me.
Yeah, okay.
Don't hate.
No. Sorry. Just give it to me again. Sorry. Vieira.
Oh, second round submission.
Second round sub. Okay. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Let me give you the odds before I give you my pick, guys. Okay. Zingano is at a plus 132. And as Pam was alluding to, Vieira coming back at a minus 152. So the favorite in this fight, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
I know maybe, as you just said, it might be the unpopular pick, but I'm also going with Vieira, and I don't think it's going to be a problem for her. I think she gets it done, and she gets it done early. Kat Zingano, all love to you. You look good getting off the bus. Tony loves you. He's going to play the, you know, Careless Whisper, the lightsaber track for you. I appreciate it. But I think Vieira gets this one done. I think she gets it done because, you know, she's a tougher fighter. I think she's going to get it done early, probably second round. I see a submission as well. I know I'm agreeing with Pam, but second round sub for me as well. I think this girl is bigger, tougher, stronger, the up-and-comer. She's going to get it done. Sorry to ruin your plans, everybody, Marco and Tony. Nothing. Nobody. Yeah, okay. I knew we were going to get
crickets,
something.
Crickets.
Burr.
All right. Andre took him Thao fight.
That's going to be a fun one.
It might be. Let's just go on to the men's featherweight division. And we go Frankie, the answer. Edgar.
Wait. What happened to Stefan Struve?
Oh, shit. Eddie!
I was like, wait a minute. I was like,
moving to
what?
The heavyweight division we
that's
go.
That's a big
Rewind
weight cut.
Rewind.
Yep, that's a big weight
Start
cut.
Again. 3, 2, 1. Moving to the heavyweight division we go. Number 10, Stefan, the skyscraper, through 32-9-0 against number 12, Andre the Pitbull Arlovsky, 26-15-0 with one no contest. I guess I'll go first here because we're going to cover five fights here, guys, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how much, you know, confidence I have in either one of these fighters. Stefan Struve comes in all the time giving me questions. I want to be his fan. I want to see him knock people out, but he just can't keep people at bay. And Andre Arlovsky is going to come at Stefan. Does anybody know where Andre's been training? Because he's been out there and around. I know he was
ATT.
Fighting out of Chicago. Okay, so this camp he was in ATT. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. I appreciate that. So, we have the older Andre Arlovsky at 39 years of age. Stefan Struve coming at us at the ripe young age of 30. I don't know, guys. I think Andre Arlovsky might be able to get this one done. The heavyweight division, you know, as we saw last week with your boy, the Black Beast, can get finished at any time, especially if you've been on your back for 2.5 rounds and you just happen to be able to throw that uppercut that you're used to throwing. Anything can get done. I'm going to take Andre Arlovsky getting it done against a taller fighter. I know Stefan has the kicking game. He's got the I just don't have any faith in him anymore. I think that I'm going to take Andre Arlovsky. I'm going to take him by second round KO. So having said that, let's go straight to you, DJ Tony. What you got? Doesn't agree. Tony, what you got? Are you on mute?
Sorry, Eddie. All right, guys, I agree with you guys. Listen, I wanted to get to the Stefan Struve, Andre Arlovsky, just literally to throw everyone's picks off of whack because no one really knows what's going to happen there. We should certainly, we'll do a spotlight five of the night. So if anyone wants to give the shine out to Sean O'Malley, Sean O'Malley, also known as Bud, or no one got that?
Really? Sugar.
Of course.
Roach? Okay. Andre Sukumtaw.
Yeah, crickets.
There you crickets. Go. Crickets, for sure. You know what, guys? I totally agree with Proteus on this. I have no idea, guys, if it's going to be Stefan Struve or Stephen Struve, right? Because we don't know. Talk about a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. But with Andre Arlovsky, guys, the one thing I worry about – no, really, right? I mean, we don't know what we're going to see because he doesn't use his length. You know, Andre Arlovsky lost 5 straight. I mean, literally good losses initially, right, to Stipe Miocic, Alistair Overeem, but then he lost to Josh Barnett, maybe a non-clean Josh Barnett, lost to Francis Ngannou. All right, that was a tough one. Lost to Marcin Tybura, beat Junior Albini. That was diaper gate, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
which Andre
Arlovsky
we're going to get, whether it's the Andre Arlovsky that we all root for in Junkie Nation or whether it's Stefan Struve who couldn't make it in the NBA. I don't know which guy we're going to get, guys. Again, just like with Katsingano, I'm going to go with the person I like. Probably not the smartest thing to do, but I'm going to go with Andre Arlovsky, guys. I'm going to go with Andre Arlovsky in a third-round TKO, KO. Only because I don't really trust Stefan Struve. I don't know if he's going to be Stefan or Steven. I don't know which one we're going to get. So I'm going to go I'm going to go with Andre Arlovsky, guys. Third round TKO, simply because I'm a fan of his.
All right, so let's recap. Proteus is going with Arlovsky, second round KO. Tony going with Arlovsky, third round TKO, KO. Let's throw to you, Marco. And then we'll throw the panel to finish this fight off. Marco, what you got going on in this one?
So we got the skyscraper versus the people, man. I like both these guys, man. I mean, I used to be a huge Andre Arlovsky fan back in the day, man. But Tony Fetter, man, I mean, yeah, he Arlovsky won his last fight against the Albini, you know, Diapergate. But before that, he lost 5 in a row, dude, and he didn't lose. He got demolished on every single one of them. It's true. I mean, let's not forget that he knocked out the current champion, Esteban Bianche, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But it did happen. He's been on and off. You know, everybody knows about his heart issues, but I guess he got that iron out. And the guy gained like 25 pounds. He used to fight at 240. Now he fight at 265, and he has to cut weight to make 265. He really filled up. I don't know if that was the best thing for him because he's not as limber as before. That's it. On his last fight against Alexander Volkov, Stroh was looking really good in the first round and entering into the second. And then something happened in the second round. I guess he got clipped a couple of times. And then Volkov took over and TKO'd him. If the Stefan Struve that fought Volkov on the first round of his last fight shows up against Arlovski, Struve fights to lose. I got no confidence whatsoever on the chin of Arlovski, man. Yeah, he won the Albini fight, but Albini is not the quality of a striker that Struve is. I mean, for all his shortcomings, and for all like we criticize Struve is a true striker, and he's pretty good on the ground, too. So I'm going to go with Struve, man. I got a feeling that he's shorting up. You know, he was using more movement and more of his jab on his last fight. He can actually use that striking distance like he's trying to do and actually connect with Arlovski. I think he knocks out Arlovski, and I think he knocks him out on early on the second round. Let's say knock out on the first. I'm going to go on a limb. Struve knocking out Arlovski on the first round.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. I just was writing down second, and then you changed your mind. Okay, so Marco going with Struve in a first-round KO. Wow. Anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. Like I said last week, anything can happen. Pam, what you got going on here in this heavyweight battle?
Well, okay. This one was another one where it's almost like a puzzle. You know how in math they give you the stupid algebra, solve X. Okay, so I'm trying to solve X here. Andrei Arlovski and Stefan Struve. Stefan Struve is like 7 feet tall versus Andrei Arlovski's 6'3" svelte frame. Stefan's got a 7-inch reach advantage. And brown belt. Submissions are Andrei Arlovski's got 17 KOs. So this is my formula. This is how I solved for X. I went to Andrei Arlovski, and he did at one time have KO power, but he wins and loses in spurts. So he was on a 6-win streak and then on a 5-loss streak, and now he's back. Then he won against Junior Albini. So it's time for him to go back on his streak. So that alone is why I'm picking Andrei Arlovski. So I'm solving for X. X equals first round TKO.
All right. I hope that somebody makes a meme of Pam's decision about what happened in this fight, because that'd be awesome to see. So just give it to me again, please, Pam. One more time.
First round TKO, Andrei Arlovski is going to knock out Stefan Struve.
All right. So let's recap real quickly for anybody that.
What are the odds? Yeah.
I was just thinking that as well. I was going to recap and then bring up the odds, but Pam brings it up. Let's go ahead and get into it. Struve is a -190 as Arlovski coming back at us at a +165. So, I mean, Struve the slight favorite in this one. So let's recap this one real quick. Proteus went with Arlovski, second round KO. Tony also going with Arlovski, third round TKO KO. Marco going with Struve, first round KO. And Pam going with Arlovski, first round TKO. Very exciting, ladies and gentlemen. You are on again the Struve Island. And I mean, Marco, I don't blame you for being on the Struve Island, honestly, because I mean, Arlovski hasn't shown us all that much. in his last couple of fights, but neither has Struve. I mean, Struve's shown just a DJ Tony, if you're there, going to the featherweight division to go. Brian Ortega, 27 years of age, coming up, man. I mean, let's not cloud over this. Brian Ortega is coming up and surging in this division right now. 13-0. Frankie Edgar, the grizzled veteran at 36 years of age, 21-5-1. Gosh, who do we start with here? I think, Pam, we should start with you, and then Marco will get you to on the main event. Let's go into it, Pammy. I mean, this is a short notice fight for Ortega against, you know, a perennial contender at 155. Of course, a former champ. Now he's back. He's coming down to 145 against this killer, Ortega. What you got?
Okay, this was one of those fights where you actually looked at it and you're like, man, do I have to pick? You know. So given that, Brian Ortega, I mean, black belt, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, great ground game, stand-up, he's creative, young guy, 27-5-9, 13-0, he's got 2 KOs, 7 subs, and 4 decisions. But again, I like him. I've been watching him, you know, on his rise. But again, he has wins over Cub Swanson, Renato Carneiro, Clay Guida, Diego Brandão, Thiago Tavares. And then after that, it's like, who are these other people? So I'm kind of questioning his fight resume. And that's not to say that he's not a bad fighter, but you're coming up against Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar is, you know, 36, wrestling, cardio, boxing. He's also black belt in jiu-jitsu, but Frankie Edgar fights contenders, championship contenders. 2 losses to Aldo, 2 losses to Bendo, 7 KOs, 4 subs, 11 decisions. So he's actually a unanimous decisionator. Even his losses have been by decision. He has never been knocked out, never tapped out, never been choked out. You know, I am going with Frankie decision for me.
Okay, Frankie Edgar. So you're going Edgar.
Mm-hmm. My decision.
Decision. Wow. I mean, I hope Pam that you're looking for like a bang it out, drag it out kind of fight with these two guys.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this is going to be. I think this is going to be insane. It's going to be crazy insane because. You think about it, I mean, Brian Ortega, he likes to punish, but Frankie Edgar, he can take that punishment. I mean, this little dude will not go down. He's like a little tank. He's like a male version of Jessica Andrade. He's just a little tank that just keeps going. And, you know, I mean, he's crazy, and I love him, and fans love him, and truth be told, everybody, even though Brian Ortega is an up-and-coming star, how can you not want Frankie to win?
Yeah, I agree with you 100% here. Marco, as I mentioned at the top here, this is a short-notice fight. But as Pan had mentioned, I mean, Edgar is, a perennial contender. The one thing that bothers me is they keep mentioning that Frankie Edgar has not ever been finished, Marco. So I throw it to you. What you got here?
Okay, Frankie Edgar is not a perennial contender. He was the contender. He was supposed to fight Max Holloway for the featherweight championship of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Max got hurt. So he is the contender. Kudos for Brian Ortega for, you know, taking the fight. Too much too soon, bro. What happened to Jair Rodriguez when they did the same treatment to Frankie Edgar?
Yep.
He got Wallach, Molly Wallach. If your name is not Jose Aldo, Benson Henderson, or Gray Maynard, when Gray Maynard was Gray Maynard, you're not thinking Frankie Edgar. You know? Man. Brian Ortega has a bad tendency of getting behind in fights and then putting Hail Marys. You cannot do that with Frankie. Frankie will not only expose you, but beat you down and make you look bad in the process. Probably put you on the shelf. Ask Jair Rodriguez how his fight has been ever since he fought. Oh, that's right. He hasn't fought since he got beat down by Frankie Edgar. Because he had to reevaluate all his freaking training and realize that he needed takedown defense. Now, Brian Ortega is dangerous. I'm going to give that to the kid. He's really good at pulling these weird summations and stuff, but his striking is nowhere near of Frankie Edgar's. This is Frankie Edgar's fight to lose, and I don't think he's losing it. He's too smart, too savvy, too better-like, and it's going to be a warman-like performance. Yeah, everybody is raving about Brian Ortega's jiu-jitsu level, and he's outstanding. But Frank Yeager is not sharp on the ground either. And when he freaking pins you down and starts ground pounding you, it is curtains for people. So the last place Brian Ortega wants to be is in the ground with Frankie, because he will feed you knuckle sandwiches all freaking day. I'm picking Frankie, and I'm picking Frankie by TKO in the third round, because he's going to put a big on Brian Ortega. Because, you know, he took the fight. I'm my respect for Brian. I think he's a superstar in the future. But not now. He's going to get the Jair Rodriguez treatment. Frankie Edgar, third round, TKO.
Hey, Marco. Okay. Is this three or five rounds?
Three.
It's a three-rounder. It's a comment.
Three.
Okay.
This would have been a five-rounder had it been a championship fight. But, of course, it's not, because Ortega is vying for that particular.
Well, do you think? I mean, this is taken away, and I'm sorry, Tony, I'm cutting into your time, but I just thought about this question right now. Should a main is always five, but should a co-main be five as well? I think it should.
I don't think in this particular case, but go ahead, Marco.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they couldn't make it a main event even if it was a non-title fight. Like, I mean, take Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor. That wasn't a title fight, but it was the main event, and it was a five-rounder. And the co-main was a title fight, but the names are not big enough. And the time that they got Brian Ortega to get ready for the fight wasn't a big time frame, you know? He didn't get a full
He couldn't train for five rounds.
Okay, I got
it. It wouldn't be fair for Ortega to make it a five-rounder, but it's not unprecedented. But no, it's okay. I'm okay with a three-rounder, you know?
Okay. I was just wondering that just when you said third round, and I thought, well, is this three or is this five? So I was just curious about that.
You know what? There are no stupid questions in this game, so bring the questions up. I mean, I that's a great question, because people who are listening to this particular show have these questions, Pam. I mean, I don't think that anybody bringing up a question, whether you're a new casual fan or you're, you know, an MMA hardcore. I mean, the questions like that are not, in my opinion, something that you should have to worry about. That's a great question. I appreciate you bringing it up. So, Tony, let's throw to you, because as we mentioned here and as we mentioned last week, or I don't even think it was last week. I think it was probably, 4 weeks ago when we were talking about this card coming together. We thought that, you know, Ortega was going to be if he could get this done, I think this is a direct quote from me. If he can get this done, the sky's the limit for Ortega. What you got here, DJ Tony?
You're 100% right, guys. And if he can get this thing done, pro, it's literally shooting all the way up to Max Holloway. The problem is he's fighting Frankie Edgar now. I think some people give Frankie Edgar a little too much credit because they're still thinking that it's Frankie, a 30-year-old Frankie Edgar, and not a 36-year-old Frankie Edgar. But Frankie Edgar is one tough son of a gun. I mean, he really is, guys. And Marco said it best. He only loses to upper-tier fighters. I just don't think Brian Ortega is there yet. And the first pick I did, Mackenzie Dern versus Ashley Yoder, that was a straight-up fight where I literally thought Mackenzie Dern would finish her. Singano was more of an emotional pick, clearly. Andre Arlovski was more of an emotional pick. I'm a huge Brian Ortega fan, huge. I'm just not dumb enough to pick him yet. He's 13-0-1, deserves to be 13-0-1. Probably if he was fighting someone else that's not named Max Max Holloway or Frankie Edgar, he'd probably be 14-0-1, but he's not going to be Frankie Edgar. Again, like Marco said it best, Brian Ortega's fights, guys, look at it. It's always a Hail Mary, like Marco said, whether it's Clay Guida,
yeah,
whether it's Cub Swanson. I mean, it's always him being a little careless, getting tagged, but he's so talented on the ground that he pulls something off or just hits someone because he's a good striker. He's an okay striker, but he can't beat Frankie Edgar. Not right now, guys, so let alone last minute. It hurts me to say this, but I'm choosing Frankie Edgar, not because I don't like Edgar. I do. I'm just a huge Brian Ortega fan, but Frankie Edgar will get this thing done. I don't know if he can finish him, so I don't know if it was Marco that said it would be a decision, but I'm going with the decision, Frankie Edgar, because I don't know if he can finish Brian Ortega, but I think Brian Ortega can't handle Frankie right now, so I'm choosing Frankie Edgar.
I went decision.
Yeah, I know. I'd already sorted that out, you guys. You don't have to throw it in DJ Tony's face, but thank you very much for bringing
in
it up.
In your face, DJ Tony, in your face.
In your cutter, right, man.
I think that you guys both, all three of you, brought up good points about Brian Ortega. And I think that, you know, the thing that does scare me, guys, is the fact that he can get it done. I mean, in the third round, I mean, he can just get it done. He can just pull it out of his ass. Excuse me, Disney, I apologize for swearing. But he can just get it done. And he's able to pull that high level, as Joe Rogan says, high level jiu-jitsu out of his bum. Listen, guys, I think Frankie Edgar is, as advertised, the answer. I'm going to agree with you guys that Frankie Edgar on paper should be able to get this one done. But I do want to reserve the right to say that Brian Ortega is a wild card and he can get anything done. And Frankie Edgar probably has not faced anyone like a Brian Ortega on the ground. So, because Brian Ortega is just kind of on the ground like another champ that we have seen in the 155 division, and I know I need to move this along, so I will move it along. I'm going to take Frankie Edgar. I'm going to take him. I know Marco said third round TKO. I'm going to take Edgar in a second round TKO. I think, as you guys have... Thank you, DJ Tony. As you guys have mentioned, Frankie Edgar has been in these battles, and he's a warrior, and he's going to be able to get it done. And if we're to believe what he said in the Embedded today that came out today, that, he's not focusing on the title anymore. He's just focusing on the guy that's in front of him, and I think that's important. Guys, let's move this show along because I want to get to...
Right before you say anything else? We all pick Frankie Edgar and watch Brian Ortega spoil our freaking pick, man.
Yeah, just like we all lost the OSP fight last week.
My gosh.
Anything can happen. Brian Ortega could pull this out of his ass and be, in his next fight against the in a title fight. I mean, I can see that happening. It's not out of the realm of possibility. But DJ Tony, let's go ahead and wrap UFC 222 up and move to the mythical women's featherweight division. We go.
Are you looking for a new way to stay fit and healthy? At Green Life Vitality, we work with you to customize your fitness plan and your nutrition plan. We also teach you how to prepare meals for your busy life. Visit us online at greenlifevitality.com. Use the code AMPRADIO for your free consultation.
And as you guys noticed, this fight is brought to you by Green Life Vitality. Thank you very much, Tony, for bringing that to us. Marco, I mean, this is the mythical women's featherweight division. We've got Chris Cyborg taking this on short notice. Of course, Yana Kunitskaya taking this on short notice. Let's go into it. Kunitskaya at 28 years of age, 10-3-1 against Chris Cyborg. 32 years of age, 19-1-1. I don't even know how she has any losses. Of course, that loss is in her first MMA fight ever. Marco, what you got?
First of all, look at us how we grow, man. Now we got the main event is sponsored by... I like that.
Uh-huh.
But,
hey.
What can I say, man? I feel like Jenna Kuniskaya is the goat that got fed to the T-Rex on Jurassic Park, man. I feel bad for this girl. And she's a pretty girl, too, man. I mean, Jenna Kuniskaya is easy on the eyes. Man. Tanya Avenger beat the brakes out of her on the second fight. And, I don't know, man. I'm just hoping for an interesting fight, you know? She trains at Jackson Wink, and they kind of sort of got a blueprint of how to fight against Cyborg with the Holly Holm fight, you know? Stick a move. But unless freaking the MMA girls have a real bad sense of humor and they want to pull an upset out of, you know, you don't know where, it is freaking Cyborg fights to lose. Conventional wisdom say that she's going to knock this girl out either on the first round or the second round. I'm going to give this girl some credit. You know, she's tough. Let's say Chris Cyborg, you know, she likes to, in this day and age, she likes to freaking showcase, kind of striking, and whatever new tools and new toys she learned on the gym. She's going to take her time and knock this girl out later on the second round. It's going to be a nightly knockout. And everybody's going to be excited. And everybody's going to be thankful that Chris Cyborg saved this pay-per-view. All hell, Chris Cyborg. You know, I don't even know what we're picking on this fight because it's just like a, 20-1 favorite?
Yeah, let's go ahead and bring those odds up right now. Hang on one second. I'll bring up the odds for you. Yeah, Cyborg, minus 1650 at Kuniskaya. At
oh, my God. 50.
Jesus
Shut
Christ.
Up.
If you want to freaking put $50 and you never want to see again on Kuniskaya, go ahead,
yep.
Because the payback will be incredible. But no, Chris Cyborg, second round KO, brother.
Second round GKO?
TKO, KO, either way. It's the same result.
Okay, yeah,
it's
KO.
Gonna be
So, Pam... I mean,
mm-hmm.
We can't really disagree too much with Marco's assessment of this fight. I mean, Kuniskaya coming up from Invicta, again, another 135-pound fighter. And, of course, if you're paying attention to the embedded at all, you know, Kuniskaya is kind of telling us that, you know, she's not had to cut any weight. She feels very good at doing this. But, of course, Holly Holm, same kind of thing. Same camp as well. What you got going on here? Do you got anything different but what Marco has just said?
Nope. Especially when this is your main event and you've got a damn shadow person on the profile. So that right there tells you. I couldn't find anything. Yeah, I couldn't find anything on her other than that she fights out of Jackson Wink. She's a Russian Thai boxing champ and a Taekwondo champ. But again, fight resume. She does have a loss to Tanya Avenger, who Chris beat. I'm looking at that loss right there. You got Chris Cyborg, wrestling, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, black belt in Muay Thai, brown belt in Jiu-Jitsu. I'm even going further. I think it's going to be like, you know how when the cats bring in a dead mouse and they'll play with it and play with it and play with it? Third round TKO with Cyborg.
Okay, so third round TKO Cyborg. Okay, so let's just recap. We're at the halfway mark for the main event on UFC 222. Marco is going with Cyborg. Second round KO, Pam. Cyborg, third round TKO, Tony. Get that careless whisper ready again because, you know, why not? What you got going on here?
So, shadow figure. Wow, you know what? Pam's right. I'm looking at the UFC.com site for UFC 222 Shadow Figure. Let me do a quick search for Yana Kunitskaya. K-U-N-I.
Yeah, I had to go to Tapology to find a reach.
Got it! All right. Whoa. All right. You guys already know I know what she looks like. Never mind. That was a bad... You know what? I even deserve crickets for that one. That was horrible. Yeah.
That was a boom. Good here, job, Marco. That was a boom.
Here's the thing, guys. I mean, I'm obviously a huge Yana Kunitskaya fan. Have been since I saw her make her debut, right, at Invicta. The problem is she's fighting Chris Cyborg, guys. And we saw the beautiful Holly Holm take on Chris Cyborg. You know, Marco said it best that the Jackson Wink camp has a plan, a fight plan set up, strategy set up to beat Chris Cyborg. I have strategy to set up to beat Chris Cyborg. And guess what? I'm not going to get it done either, and neither is the beautiful Yana Kunitskaya, who, honestly, if her English was a little better, guys, she could literally be like something where everyone would tune in because she's easy on the eyes, like Marco said. There's no darn ways about it. Good Lord, a blonde Russian girl. Good Lord.
You do know I work for an eye doctor, right? I can help you with that.
Okay. we'll have the crickets on that one. Yeah. Move along. Nothing to see here. And you know what? Just like
exactly.
That, Pam, Marco's right. Move along. Nothing to see here, unfortunately, guys. It's going to be short. It's going to be probably in the second round, like Marco said. Pam said it best. First round, Chris Cyborg is just going to get her timing, goof around, maybe burn off, 20 calories. In second round, she's going to finish the beautiful Yana Kunitskaya. Second round, TKO, unfortunately. And I like both of them. Huge Kunitskaya fan. But like Marco said, move along. Nothing to see here, guys. Pay no attention to the man behind the Jackson Wing curtain, because it's going to be curtain second round, TKO, Chris Cyborg.
Okay, guys. I don't disagree with you guys that this is not like the... Cyborg, 135-pounders, probably because there are no 145-pounders, and, Chris Cyborg is the only one that can do that. Kunitskaya getting her opportunity. Okay. Either we go with it's good thing that Kunitskaya is getting an opportunity to be in the UFC, or we go with it's not so good that Chris Cyborg is just fighting cans. We kind of have this particular kind of argument with the greatest hashtag, or in air quotes, the best heavyweight fighter in the world. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to bring his name up because all of those people will be on our site giving us grief. I think Cyborg is kind of the white whale here as well. She's kind of in a position where there are no girls for her to fight. I'm going to take Chris Cyborg. I don't want to see Kunitskaya get her ass handed to her, but I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, Kunitskaya has a lot of belief that she has a chance, and Holly Holm kind of had the same belief. But when Chris Cyborg hits you, you feel it. I'm going to take Chris Cyborg, and I'm going to take her. I'm not going to take her by decision because it was a 5-round fight. But I think she gets it done in the third. TKO.
Hey, on that note, man, like there is no 45ers for Cyborg. What is happening with Megan Anderson, man? I mean, I know she got some visa issues, but they got resolved. Why? Why not hitting for Megan Anderson? She hasn't fought for a while. I mean, not in Invicta, no nothing. So why?
She's been active on Twitter, but selfies and stuff, not stuff.
Yeah, like why doesn't they offer her?
Thank you, DJ Tony, for cueing the music.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Megan is a legit 145er. She's 6 foot tall. I mean, she will be, it will be an impressive face-off because she's actually bigger than freaking Cyborg. She's a knockout artist, you know. That would be an interesting fight. Why don't make that fight? I mean, nothing against Kuniskaya. You know, she has fought at 145 before, but she's a natural 135-er. I'm just wondering, I mean, there is that one girl up there, Megan Anderson, and they got beef for a while, and they were supposed to fight last July, and then, you know, visa issues canceled that fight. I'm just wondering. I'm just throwing that out there. What is going
on?
I know. And,
the problem, the problem is, Marco, sorry, Pam. Sorry, Pam. The problem is if you do that fight now, Pam and Marco, you don't have fight number two for Cyborg. You're done. So I think that's why they're holding off on me.
What happened with Nunes?
You always got the Amanda Nunes fight, super fight, and you can always throw Katzingano on the mix because she's a big 135-er. She's actually fought at 145 too back on the day. I mean, there is some fights up there for survival, but the one legit 145-er up there, I have hit crickets for her, I mean, since last July. I can't get a word about big old Megan Anderson, man. I want to see her on the UFC. They actually got her under contract, too, so that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. I think that there's more than meets the eye here with Megan Anderson because I think if Megan Anderson was ready and she was able to be put in a fight, they'd put her in a fight. So we can draw all the conclusions that we want. I just don't think that I think there's more to meet the eye here with the Megan Anderson story since Megan doesn't want to share anything about it and no one has put anything out about it. I just think there's more there, Marco, on the bone. And yes, she is being paid by the UFC right now. And that's got to hurt the UFC. I mean, it's got to be an issue that is serious. Okay, guys, I want to transition right now to another segment. Of course, we want to touch on a little bit of the news and notes that are in this week. And of course, John Jones had his hearing with the California State Commission. Thank you, DJ Tony, cueing the music. And I don't know, guys. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. Of course, this saga is not done. Marco, let's throw to you first, and then Pam will go to you on this John Jones situation. Marco, why don't you break it down to us? I mean, basically, the California Commission didn't really do anything to him except take the max amount of money that they could from him. So, Marco, why don't you go ahead and talk to us about it right now?
Fucking Jones. John Jones, man. Why is he's on the news now. So, he goes to the hearing on Tuesday, and he's a big circus, a big freaking kerfuffle. John Jones didn't do himself any favor with his defense because he didn't prove any material evidence that, you know, it was a tainted supplement or anything like that. He basically just gave his word that, I swear I didn't do it. And California punted. They fined him $205,000. $205,000, yeah. That is no chump change, but for John Jones, it's a drop in the bucket because he made probably $5 million on that fight with Cormier after pay-per-view points. And then they revoked his license with the possibility of him being reinstated in August because when they revoke your license, you cannot apply for 1 year, but it's retroactive to the day of the offense. So it's like a suspension. So he can technically reapply in August. Now, the caveat for these guys is that they merit this, you know, reapplication for his license to whatever USADA, you know, decides to do. And that is when I got pissed off because I made it very public. The CSAC, CSAC, is the government, the Attorney General of the State of California being the charges for the commission to review. And they decided, we're not going to suspend. We're not going to really make a decision. We're going to let a private institution, a for-profit institution, USADA, make the decision. An institution that, by the way, there was no collective bargaining agreement to decide how the regulation of the drug policy was going to work out. It just got imposed on people. So, yeah. Good job, CSAC. Good job. Good job of not doing your job and you're being paid by taxpayers. Great job. Now, bottom line is, round one is a win for John Jones. Yeah, they revoked your license, $200,000. That is, as I said, it's not chump change. It's a lot of coin, but it's the maximum they could impose by their regulation. 40% of the disclosed purse, $200,000. That's a lot of money. And then they revoke the license. It can be reinstated in others. Round one, win for John Jones, even though he didn't look good. He threw Mikey Kawa under the bus because, yeah, you didn't took those tutorials from USADA and then you let your freaking management sign off on them, John Jones. I mean, are you dumb? They tend to be so honest that you throw your management under the bus? Whatever. Let's see what USADA does, man. Hopefully, and I want to see John Jones fight, man. I don't think that's the sport any good for him to be given 4 years because it'll be unprecedented. That would be the death penalty for John Jones, and it will probably force WME to actually, when the contract with USADA comes to an end, to sever ties with USADA, and it would not be good for the sport. I think USADA is going to give John Jones 18 months to 3 years, and I know all right with 18 months, so we can see John Jones early next year. Yeah, I know right with it. If you give him more than that, man, and I'm done another with this freaking doping and anti-doping because it got no sense, man. I mean, Machida gets 2 years for taking a keto and a freaking Chad Mendes because he got freaking
right. Okay, so Marco, hang on 1 second. Because that's another conversation that we could get into that. We don't really, I mean, we have the UFC and Pam, let's throw it to you because Marco had his time to talk. But I mean, Marco brings up good points because the testing that we have, we just have to believe that this is the good testing. But John Jones brings up a good fact that, you know, some of this testing just might not be up to the standard and they don't really know anything about anything because any kind of supplement that somebody might be taking or even if somebody's doing steroids, I mean, for this to come up with John Jones, Pam, I mean, let's get your thoughts on it because there's a lot to unpack.
Well, I mean, I could understand if it was one time, but how many times? Three times?
No, two right now.
Two, okay, and then all, you know. So I can understand, like, I can understand what one time and it's overturned, but it was never overturned. And then, you know, he had all his issues with the drugs and stuff like that. So, I mean, his track record doesn't give anyone, like, confidence in him, you know? So I don't know. And then they were talking about some papers that he, or some classes that he was supposed to, complete some courses that he was supposed to complete, and he didn't do it. And then admitted that a lot of his paperwork that his managers or wherever just forged his signature on all these paperwork. So it's like, you know,
Pam, we're in early stages of this. This is kind of. you know, we haven't seen this before. This is kind of what we've been saying for almost 2 years. Like this. USADA, okay, Tony, let me bring you into this conversation because you were the first person to really push back against USADA in this particular show. You were the first one to say, hey, be careful about USADA. And of course, Tony, we saw what California did, and we've been talking about corruption in these state-run athletic commissions. And Tony, you had also brought up that, you know, USADA is also basically an employee of the UFC. So what do you think if USADA doesn't give doesn't come down as hard as Marco thinks they should, what does that say to the general population of the world about our sport?
Well, that's the tough part, right? Because we do know that USADA has been contracted by the UFC, so they're not a government agency. They're not, you know, they're private.
Right.
That could be, but it doesn't make a difference. So whether they're getting paid a dollar, whether they're getting paid $50 million, they're still contracted by someone, right? So whether it's substantial or not substantial, that point's kind of moot, because what you still have is an agency, not a government agency, an entity that's working for the UFC. What's in the best interest of the UFC, to have John Jones fight or to have John Jones not fight, to have Brock Lesnar fight or to have Brock Lesnar not fight? It'll be interesting, guys, to see where the UFC stands in terms of whether they'll push back on USADA and say, come on, guys, let's just give them a year and let them go, which will effectively be, what, 4 months, 5 months left. Marco's right. He should get at least a 2-year suspension, if not a 4-year suspension. I mean, he knows what he's doing. Pam brought this up about, like, right, he's not going to get that. But Pam brought this up. She's right. He didn't know? Of course he knows. I mean, he knows what he's taking. He knows if he's getting a supplement through AMPM or whether he's getting a supplement through 7-Eleven or whether he's getting a supplement. Yeah, I mean, there are rules. The golden snitch, what's his name? Jeff Nowitzki has brought this up many times on various shows. You can call us, right? But you can't call us, right? You can't call us. You can't ask if this is a banned substance or not. You can't actually go on the website. Come on, you guys. It's John Jones being John Jones. And unfortunately, I think what we're going to see is the UFC being the UFC and letting this kind of go by.
This is where I see where the conflict is, because, like we said, USADA is a for-profit institution contracted by the UFC, and they got a substantial contract with the UFC that, by the way, is coming up for renewal next year.
Yeah.
What is in the best interest, not for the UFC, but for USADA? Because if you start clipping the
That's a good point.
The money makers for the UFC, you know, new ownership is not for Titas anymore. It's WME, $4.2 billion. You know, they have to weigh in. It's like, you're keeping the will of our money makers. You know, why interest got the WME to keep them around? And USADA knows that. So, it weighed in on the decisions they're making, and that is not a fair process. That is what I say. The government should have done the work and not punted to an institution that, if they give John Jones just 1 year, I don't care if they give him 2 days. Government, please make a decision, CSAC.
You're still there, Marco? Did we lose you?
No, I don't know.
Pam, quickly, I quickly go with your question, because I'd like to move on to round two on this subject a good conversation.
Okay, so if they give him like a slap on the wrist, does this open the door for lawsuits?
Okay.
As far as other fighters?
That's a good point. That's actually where I was going with round two, Pam.
Oh, okay.
Good question. Because I think that what we see happen here, this is a large, and I'm just going to weigh in before we move on, because I want to do that. I think that if we see the UFC take a kind of a role or a backseat, or even if we see USANA take, we've already seen Jeff Nowitzki, as DJ Tony had said, the golden snitch, say on Joe Rogan's podcast, and I'll just put out Joe Rogan's podcast, because that's probably the biggest podcast he's been on, that he didn't think that John Jones, or what he saw in John Jones's history, or his blood test, even in his mind was John Jones cheating. So let's keep in mind that Joe Rogan is also a UFC employee. So we have to take what Joe Rogan is saying, whatever rate we want to take that at. But that's what that podcast had to say, and that's what Jeff Nowitzki had to say, that he didn't think that the lineage of what John Jones was taking showed, or the lineage of the tests,
that John Jones went through, that those tests saw or showed that he was cheating, Marco, right? This is not something, and again, we have to take into account these are two UFC employees, but I think, guys, moving on to you, round two, I think that USADA is going to just take on part. You know, they're just going to go with taking the guy who makes the UFC a whole lot of money, and they're going to put him back into the rotation. And we've seen that the athletic commissions are willing to do that. So, Marco, let's throw it to you. If USADA just throws them back into rotation so that UFC can make some money, and the athletic commissions are complicit to that too, do you not think that the class action lawsuit has a bigger role in what happens here? Marco?
Something related to separate entities here. I don't think it affects the class action lawsuit, but I think it will affect the willingness of fighters to actually finally unionize. Now, how much legs I have, I do not know, because we have seen so many of those unions or attempts to make a union come and go that it looks like a carousel right now. I mean, the latest one is Leslie Smith. But that is why this shows you that you need a union, because in every single sport, organized sports that got player associations, the norms and regulations for drug testing are pretty well established, and they are collectively bargained by the players associations. NBA, NFL, NHL, tennis, golf, you name it. Well, there is a players association or a fire association, whatever you want to call it. All those standards are already set up. They're not imposed. And because it's so arbitrary with USADA, some people getting 1 year, some people getting 2 years, some people that sell three-thirds that never tested positive for anything getting 2 years. Enter Mirko Kroko, BJ Penn at 6 months for self-referring, you know? The process is so arbitrary that there is no heads or tails on the thing, you know? And it just feels like what you and me as a fan unhappy, because I want to see the guy fight. But the process is tainted right now. The process is tainted. And I think, like you said, the commission is being complicit by not exercising their authority and actually making an actual decision. They just punted, and that pissed me off.
Now, Pam, let's throw this to you, because I just want to transition a bit, because another piece of news that came out, not only did we have John Jones kind of maybe getting a lesser chance, but we've also got Brock Lesnar being floated in front of our faces with Dana White smiling.
Brock Lesnar!
Who was a traitor. Anyways, never mind. So we have Brock Lesnar coming out, you know, and posing with Dana White, and everybody's having a big, shiny white smile. Everybody's had a big face.
Was that a pun, a white smile?
Everybody's bellies are full with the Empire's food. Of course, we're talking about Brock Lesnar, of course. Doesn't Brock Lesnar need to have a suspension, Marco, from his previous drug infraction? Why are we bringing Pam? Why are we?
I thought he was
Brock
banned for life. I don't know. I thought he was banned for life, to be honest. But it's like, really? Come on. You know. Then what's the point? What's the point of all this? What's the point of having these guys get these massive suspensions? And then let them come back like nothing, because what message are you sending to the fighters that are clean, that are staying clean, that, okay, you know what, now you're sending the message, okay, I can juice and win some fights, because slap on the wrist, I'll be gone for 2 years, go fight for another somebody, come, you know, and be welcomed back with open arms. So I don't get it. Then what's the point of fucking drug testing if, you know?
Yeah. Marco.
Okay, flash news. Is you think that all the fighters out there are clean? You're dreaming, because it's professional sports. So everybody's taking something, they're just smart, and they're not getting caught. Second of all, Brock Lesnar WWE contract is up after WrestleMania. WrestleMania is in April 8th. the day after UFC 223. The after that day, Brock Lesnar is a free agent. So, of course, he's going to be chopping around his services, man. Of course, yep. He's trying to leverage, the UFC, so to see if the WWE is going to re-up with more money, or go to the freaking UFC. And all Brock Lesnar actually served his suspension already. He had to reintroduce himself to the drug testing for 6 months. Yeah.
Wait a minute. He already did it?
Yeah, his suspension for all intents and purposes is over because he fought in UFC 200. And he only got one year suspension. He took himself out of the testing pool 6 months into the suspension. So he technically got He got to complete the 6 month testing period. And let's say he gets contracted April, May, June, July, August, September. In October, by November, by MSC, by UFC in New York in November, he will be eligible to fight. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't see a big problem with that. Let the man make his money, dude. I mean, let's not deny the fact that Brock Lesnar makes big business for the UFC pay-per-view at the mainstream because people pay attention. And in a world that is a fantasy for me, but it's a really good fantasy. Let's say John Jones, after we just discussed it, he just get 1 year, he will be eligible to fight in July. But he doesn't fight in July. He waits until Madison Square Garden, and we get Brock Lesnar versus John Jones main event on Madison Square Garden, or co-main event on a Conor McGregor fight. Who cares? A super mega freaking event in New York. I want to see that. I really want to see that. I want to see John Jones beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar, and then fight for the heavyweight championship after that. But that is just me on fantasy MMA. Yeah, Brock Lesnar is just leveraging the UFC for the WWE, and actually keeping his options open. Because if he's eligible to fight in October, he will fight in November for mega millions of dollars, and we will all watch because we are suckers.
One second. I just have to interject here because I just got to get this point in before we close. Stipe Miocic is the greatest heavyweight of all time, and we're talking about fucking Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry, guys. I got to end this show right now. Thank you, everybody, for listening very much. I'm upset. I'm upset. So let's go through everybody and let's get this show closed. DJ Tony, do you have a Twitter follow or a song or something that you want to put through here? Because I'm upset.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Kat Zingano at Kat Zingano. I bought her book. So shout out to her. Train like a fighter. Get MMA fit without taking a hit. So as someone that has dabbled in kickboxing, I actually like this, guys. I also want to give a shout out to City Sports, my gym. I have a personal trainer, guys. I'm going through CrossFit. We'll see how long I last. So shout out to City Sports, but shout out to Kat Zingano and her book, Train Like a Fighter.
And guys, I apologize for this abrupt end to this show, but we needed to end this show. And I just think that this conversation about Brock Lesnar and the way the sport is going vexes me. Pam, let's throw it to you because I know you've got a good... the Pam and Sam show is heating up because Sam is throwing out some nice pictures. So let's just throw to you. You don't have to go there that way.
Oh, no. What? I just want to remind you guys that Mike Pyle, his last fight Saturday. So
yes,
respect to that guy. It's been fun to watch. So,
absolutely.
Respect to Mike Quicksand Pyle.
That's right.
Well, what happened to Mike Pyle? Sorry, guys. I don't know this. What happened? Sorry.
He's retiring. It's his last fight Saturday.
Darn.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Mike Pyle in the end of his career. I mean, he's 3-1 in his last four fights. I hope the best for him. But okay, guys.
But on
his
terms, his terms. So kudos to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's always good when fighters go out on their own terms. And Mike Pyle, I hope he gets the win on the way out. But. Yeah, I mean, he's always been a guy that
I've been excited to watch in the past. And yeah, it's sad when we have to say goodbye to these guys, but unfortunately we have to at some point. And like you said, Pam, it's on its own terms. So I'm gonna throw to a friend of mine at Briscoe Music. He's out right now in the Dominican Republic. He's doing some shows out there. He's having a good time. If you want to follow him and see the beautiful people that he's partying with, follow him. And of course, Marco, let's go to you. Let's get you to end this show. What you got? Get us out of here.
Okay, so I check out Below the Bell with Brendan Schaub. He interviewed Rafael Garcia de Walder Apone Malanagi. Talking about this show is really good. Check it out on YouTube, Facebook Live, and at the end of the month, the super edition on Showtime proper, you know, on the Showtime Network. Good job for Brendan Schaub, and that guy is a hustler. You know, he does comedy. He's going to freaking host the pre and post Black Panther of the Oscars this weekend on E! He is Father than the Kid, the Big Breakout, Below the Bell, with Brendan Schaub and Showtime. That is a guy that got his life figured out. So check him out, man. It's a really good show. It's funny, entertaining, and engaging. Good fight this weekend. Boxing on Saturday, Deontay Wilder versus Ortiz. We got the UFC. We got some Bellator tomorrow for you, Knucklehead.
Yes. And
enjoy the fight.
I forgot to tell you guys something. This is important. Shout out to Elias Theodoro, the Spartan, for being the first ring boy at Invicta. Yay! Go Canada!
And just like that, Tammy,
we're out.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
He's the money nice guy.
It is the end of the world as we know it. It is the end of the world, we know it.